I've got three kids. Abby, who just read, is actually my second child, and her older brother Benji are about 20 months apart from each other. But then there's this age gap between Abby and our youngest, which is 110 months. And so we have this 10-year gap in between kids from the second to the third. And when you have a 10-year gap, you typically don't hold on to, you know, old baby clothes or strollers for a decade, potentially thinking that you might have another kid. So when Sam was born, we had to go rebuy a bunch of stuff that we had already given away. One of the items we needed was a car seat, and I forgot how expensive car seats were when you buy them 10 years later, but I wasn't too worried because I knew my wife would go find the best deal that the internet had to offer. So about 2 months before Sam was born, I get this ecstatic and this excited phone call from Noelle, and she says, "You're not going to believe this amazing deal I just found. I just found the, you know, Graco X4 D1 Masterclass, like best, you know, possible car seat. It's the world's safest thing you could put your kid into. And it's 80% off." I was like, "Oh, well then, of course, you need to buy this fantastic car seat." So I was like, "Go grab it, get it." About 2 hours later, she calls me back, and I figured that it was her calling me to continue this celebration of this fantastic car seat that she bought. The phone call was about the car seat, but the tone of the call was not that of celebration. It was a little bit more somber. She says, "Hey, so the car seat website that had all this great news on it, it actually turns out that it was a scam website." And I was like, "Oh, well, bummer. I'm so glad that you found that before you put in all of your card information. That would have been really bad." There was this very dramatic, this very long pause, and I was like, "Noelle, did you put your card information into a scam website without checking it first?" And she's all, no, I didn't do that. I put your card into the number." And so I was like, okay, well, that's great. So she told me that the bank called her because they flagged the transaction. They canceled my card. It took, you know, 6 to 10 business days to get another card in the mail. And wouldn't you know it, that is the card that had all of our bills that were auto-drafted off of it. So I had to go back through and make sure nothing bounced and re-put the other card back in. This good news about the car seat, it ended up being bad news because it was a scam the entire time. The message was false. Seems like to survive in today's culture, it's necessary to become skeptical of every message that we hear so we don't get taken for a ride. We're always needing to fact check things. We need to make sure that the news of the headlines that we're reading, that they're correct. We can't pick up certain phone calls because it's probably somebody trying to steal your identity that has a California number. We can't even trust good news about good car seats anymore. So maybe you haven't analyzed this, but we all have this intuitive system that we have adopted in checking the validity of a message when it comes across our desk or our phone or our computer. First, what we do is we check the source of the message to make sure the person or the entity has the authority to make such a claim as they're making. And then what we do is we analyze to see if the person reporting this good news is reputable and trustworthy, or is the person that's reporting this good news, are they not trustworthy? Are they twisting the meaning of what's actually trying to be conveyed and it's not true? And then finally, we consider the message itself. What is this good news communicating to us? Is this message that we're hearing, is it valid? So most of us have become these very good detectives on evaluating the source of a message, the content of the message, and even the messenger themselves to see if they're trustworthy. We want to make sure that we can believe it, that we can rely on it before we accept it. In the text that Abby read for us from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, we enter into this similar scene where all of these shepherds are out in the field at night, and then all of a sudden, this angel of the Lord appears to them. Now, I don't know how many Greek scholars we have in the room, but your New Testament was originally written in Greek, and that word angel is translated the word angelos, which means messenger. And so we have this angel of the Lord, we have this messenger of the Lord that is coming to them at night, and then suddenly as they bring this message, there is this immense and this intense glory that takes place that starts shining all around these shepherds and these angels. And an angel of the Lord, a messenger of the Lord, appears to them. And then what does a messenger do? A messenger carries a message. Here's what the messenger of God says to these shepherds. His glory is surrounding them and shining all around them. The angel says this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." As soon as the angel spoke this message to the shepherds, listen to what happens next in this passage. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" This message of this good news being delivered to these shepherds, it caused this heavenly dance party to erupt. Now, we don't think in those terms as we're reading the Bible, because the Bible should be read very, you know, somberly and seriously, and it shouldn't be fun at all. But what's taking place here is this party busts out when these angels are saying, "I have all of this good news for you." These heavenly hosts, meaning the inhabitants of all heaven, they get loud and they get filled with joy and they start giving glory to God because this amazing message is being delivered to these lowly shepherds. Now that's awesome. And it's fun to get excited when other people get excited, but these shepherds, they wanted to go see the reality of this message themselves. The angels even told them that they can go fact check everything that they said and that they too can join into this celebration when they go fact check this message that they gave them. So after this heavenly party stopped and all these heavenly hosts and these angels are, you know, breakdancing and spinning on their heads saying, "This is the gospel, this is amazing," these shepherds, they in haste, they ran quickly to Bethlehem to experience the reality of this good news, of this message that they had just heard. Now, after the evaluation, the shepherds knew that this message came from God because this is the same message that God has been repeating throughout the entire Old Testament. This was a message that was accompanied with his glory. So the shepherds had to evaluate. They said, "Who is this messenger? Who's the source of this message?" And they say, "Well, it's clearly God, because this is the message that God has been speaking. This is the message that accompanies the God of glory with this message." So the source itself was good. You know, step one, check. The shepherds are like, we're good with it so far. Then the angel, that messenger who delivered this good news, he was found trustworthy because the shepherds went and checked what he said. Everything that the angel said that would be true was true. So they went and fact-checked not just the source, but they fact-checked the messenger as well. There was this baby that was born in Bethlehem that was lying in a manger. The source of the message and the messenger were both true. They were valid and they were fact-checked by the shepherds. Then what's the last thing you need to fact check? The last thing you need to fact check is the message itself. Is that your, your guitar's yelling at me. Sorry. That's how we get amens in the Presbyterian church. We get static, and that's as lively as we get. There you go. All right, as long as nobody claps or anything. I was right here. All right, we're good. So we're checking the last fact, right? Like, we checked the messenger, who were the angels. They were good for it. We checked the source, who is God, and God was good for it because it accompanied his message from all eternity. And then we need to check the message itself. We need to make sure that this good news is legitimate so we don't trust in something that we end up getting scammed by. So we need to make sure that this good news is not just some fairy tale that we're believing because our parents or some pastor or some teacher told us about it. We need to make sure that this good news is real news. Do you remember the message? I already read it for us. Do you remember the message that the angels brought that was from God? This is the message. I'm going to read it to you again. Knowing that the source and the messengers are good, here's what the message is. Fear not. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Friends, this message is communicating the best news that has been told in human history. It's the news that proclaims that God loves you and that God loves me. It's a message of joy. It is a message of peace that these angels brought from God to these lowly shepherds. It's saying that a special baby was to be born in the city of Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And the birth of this baby had been anticipated, prophesied, promised for thousands of years before that baby was born. The reason for this anticipation, this was the Messiah. This was the Christ that was being promised. This wasn't just some ordinary baby. This wasn't baby Sam or Abby or Benji being born. This was a prophesied baby that had been anticipated by the entire world for thousands of years. It was the Messiah, the one who was to come that was simultaneously fully God and fully man, who came to redeem a fallen and a broken humanity. Now, you see, our brokenness that God came to save us from, to restore, that brokenness is caused by us rebelling against God. We've all in this room, we have all lived as if God were not real. We've all acted like we were gods in our own place, that we are the ones that are in charge of our destinies and our worlds around us and our lives and our afterlives. That, my brothers and sisters, is a form of cosmic treason as we live this kind, as we live like kings in someone else's kingdom. That is cosmic treason. And the consequence for such a rebellion is actually eternal death. It's not a pat on the back saying, oh, good for you, you're finding your own path. It's saying, God, you're not real. Your way is not true. Your words are not true. And I am going to come up with something better than you ever could. That is the reason for any sort of eternal death that we experience. But in God's great love for us, he did something. He sent us Jesus. He sent us this promised baby who was born and that would grow up. This baby, he would grow and he would live a life that was fully pleasing to his Father. He would do this in such a way that was impossible for me and you to do on our own. And then he died on a cross in our place, taking our punishment on himself, granting us forgiveness for every bad thing that we ever have done, every bad thing that we are doing, and every bad thing, every sort of cosmic treason that we will do. Like, think about that for a second. Wouldn't that be really nice if that was actually a true message? If everything evil or bad or sinful or wicked or unloving that you've ever done to anybody, that would actually be forgiven? When the Messiah died, he was too full of life and power for the grave to keep him down, and he was resurrected from the dead. And then Jesus, he ascended into heaven where he sits at his Father's right hand. My friends, this baby that was born, he lived a perfect life on our behalf so that God would accept us and that he would love us. He died a substitutionary death for God to forgive us. He rose from the dead that we might have eternal life. He ascended to the Father so that we would be able to partake in a restored relationship between God and man and between us with each other. This is that deep and that rich content of the angel's message. This is what made this heavenly dance party start in the first place. Because the angels were rejoicing over this fact. And now the shepherds, they believed this message to be true. They trusted the integrity of the messenger. They knew that the source was God who delivered that message to them, and that he is the one that would make these things come to pass. If you go back and you read Luke chapter 2 on your own, you'll see the shepherds themselves actually become messengers of this message. And then in verse 20, they start to party like the angels did in verse 20 of this passage. The partying is contagious because the goodness of the gospel got into their bones and into their souls. My friends, this good news of the gospel delivered by God through the angels to the shepherds has now reached our ears this evening. That message has hit us in the ears this evening. We're not just here listening to some random Christmas Eve service because it's a fun tradition or my grandma or my mom or my dad dragged me here. We are hearing a message that is sent to us from God himself, that was passed from God to the angels, to these shepherds, and somehow, some way, it has made it from the Middle East to Fairview, where we're hearing that message right now. We are recipients of this glorious message. So what do you do? What do you personally do with a message like this? Are you going to fact check it? I think you should fact check it. I think that this message can be scrutinized up and down, and the hardest questions of life and philosophy in the world can be asked of the gospel, and the gospel can stand up to it. I think you should ask and fact check this message. Or are you going to just write it off as some nice traditional storytelling that we do and tell during this season? I suppose you could do that with this message. You could just say, oh, that's a fun thing to do. You know, we wear the pajamas and we listen to the Christmas story and we watch Charlie Brown and we just kind of pass it off. You could do that to this message, or you could wrestle with it. You can go to God himself and you can ask him, you can call him out and say, if this is true, then I want you to show me that it's true. If this message is truly one of peace and not just one of words and a pastor getting sweaty, making his job validated, if this message truly comes with peace and power and it gives new life and it fills your soul with joy, I want you to let me experience that, God. How are you going to respond to that message? It's the same message that was shared with the shepherds, and it's been passed on to us tonight, and so we can't just ignore it. It's hit us in the ears. Do we just call it tradition? Do we write it off as some fairy tale, or do we actually wrestle with it to see what are the implications of this joyful message, and can it bring me all that it promises? Now, if you already believe this message, then I pray that you will rejoice loudly as you celebrate this amazing reality both today and tomorrow and every other day of the year as well. But of course, if you're still wrestling with this message, there is room for that. It doesn't say if you're wrestling with it, then, you know, you're out of the club. It's you can spend a lifetime wrestling with this message. And if you ever want to come to this church, or not even on Sunday, if you just want to come here and have a cup of coffee with me on the rocking chairs, or we can go meet up and grab food, or I'm sure any one of the elders or deacons or any one of these church members in here, anybody, we can share and we can wrestle with this message together. Even if you're a Christian and you think, man, God does not love me, I am struggling in my faith, then don't wrestle alone. If you're not a Christian and you think, man, this is a weird fairy tale, but now I kind of feel perked up again to wrestle with this thing, then I would say, do it. Try to evaluate the message, scrutinize it, validate it, see what comes up. And if I can be a conversation partner with you in that process, you please let me know. It is like my favorite thing in the world to do because somebody did that for me 15 years ago. And I got to wrestle with this person when I was not a Christian. And I got to say, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, this isn't true and this isn't true and this isn't true. And look at me now. I'm a Presbyterian minister. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to you. It's not a prophetic curse. So don't like, you know, pass on this. That's not going to happen to everybody. Maybe somebody. Many years ago, this happened to me. I got to wrestle with this message because this message was delivered to me. And tonight, my friends, this message is getting delivered to you. That Jesus was born fully God and fully man. He lived the perfect life that we could not live. And he died a substitutionary death in our place. Because he loved us so much, he took our punishment, and then he rose again from the dead. And because Jesus lives, therefore I too get to live and walk in eternal life. And Jesus ascended to be with his Father, and that restored communion and relationship between God and man once again. So I and you can have restored communion with God once again. That is the message behind what these angels are carrying to these shepherds. That is the message that we get to hear this evening. Because, and let it be that this message doesn't become some dry, old, dusty message. This message can be one of joy and happiness. Good news results in a loud party. Let's pray together. Yeah, amen. There it is. Thank you, Pat. I figured there'd be one in the crowd. All right. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you so much that you have sent your Son, that you have lived that life, Jesus, and died and rose and ascended because you love us. You could have just punished us. You could have truly condemned us for all of our sin and our rebellion against you, but you love us so much. You wanted to see our lives. You wanted to live with us, and I thank you for giving us life that we might live with you. Holy Spirit, let us wrestle with this message, Christian or not, this evening, and let us reflect on it tomorrow morning, all for your glory and for our good. I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.